I greet you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, and so glad to see Mbuya for Rogers from Rufunsa. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
And to all our visitors, feel at home. Don't feel bound. Just feel at home. We are just a small family here, and we just love to gather together to worship the Lord and to read His Word. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we just want to have a moment of silence for a great soldier who has departed from our midst, Pastor Billy Joseph Ogundipe of Nigeria. He was a humble, yet great, and devout servant of God. He was an elder in the faith. He was a standard bearer. You know, we salute men whom God used amidst all sort of things in the message. They were able to lift up, you know, the standard of the word and gave the bride of Christ something to look to for direction. And such a life, if I'm not mistaken, I think he has died at 75. I hope I'm correct. It was a well-lived life. A life given in service to God. And the early years when we were coming in the message, a book that made me know him was a book he wrote titled Those Killing the Message. And if you haven't yet read his book, please do. You will. So, Brother Mansa, if you'll be interpreting, you can stand somewhere in the midsection there. The whole idea we do this is for the interpreter not to interrupt with the recorded message. Now, we have great respects for a servant of God like that, and he has been here before. That was back in the years when we used to meet at Mahatma Gandhi School. And the last time I visited Nigeria, he was excited to know that we have a church building. And I shared very precious moments with him. Not with him personally. I didn't really have that much time. It was a short time, but we hugged, we shook hands, we rejoiced together in the word of God for having seen each other after so many years. I had the opportunity to minister in his church. And when you look around at the work he has done, all the people he has established in the faith, we glorify God for such a life. So he has passed on, and we can only hope to see him on the other side. Amen. But in remembering him, in giving him the respect, we may not have a way to travel to Nigeria and, well, attend his funeral. But we can have this moment of silence to just pay our last respects to him and to reflect on him. We shall bow our heads. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our faces are facing down to the earth where we came from. And it was prophesied and said when man sinned that from the ground where he was taken from to the same ground he shall return. However, we are thankful that we don't end there in reading that scripture, but we read it with the hope of the new covenant, in which we read that a day is coming when all those who are dead, their bodies decomposed and turned to dust in the ground, all who died in Christ shall live to hear his voice, and the day is coming when they shall come up from the graves. That is the hope that gives us joy, and it makes us mourn our brother with hope, knowing that his story has just departed from this earth, but one day we look forward to meet and embrace him. We thank you, Lord, for how you used Brother Billy Joseph Ogundipe in the work of ministry. It gave us young ministers something to look at, something to focus on. And now we can see, Lord, that all the elders in the faith seem to be living the sin. We once had Brother Jackson. He's no longer with us. We once had Brother Richard Gann. He is no more. We once had Brother John McLausey. He's no longer here. And all the other great men that, Lord, I may not recall in this moment. But, Lord, and just recently we had Brother Balirao over in India. We are so thankful for the footprints that these men left on the sands of time. Now, Lord, give us the wisdom. Give us the courage, as you did Joshua, even when you instructed him that Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, get up. Meditate on the words of the Lord. Never turn from them. And now, Lord, we can see we are living at a time when there's a great falling away. We look at all the wrong things happening in different places. Lord, may you give us the strength and the boldness to keep on lifting the standard that these your gallant servants left. And the Lord, you may take us even to higher heights, even as we desire and aspire to draw nigh and closer to Christ so that we may grow into the fullness of his image. We are so thankful. Now, Lord, as we read the scriptures, and we need to continue doing so, for the journey on earth has left to us, for us to keep pressing on, to keep fighting. So now we pray, may you bless us, Lord, this morning, that we may receive something that will instruct us in the way of faith. May each and every one, Lord, be helped at their point of need. May you use these lips which are speaking to speak something, Lord, that will help all of us, that will draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in all things that your name may be glorified. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let us go to the book of Revelation. We're going to read two places. We'll read Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. Okay, we shall start with that one. Let us all read together. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we want to use this scripture to teach something about the place of a woman. We see this woman. She's called Jezebel. Now you notice this is the same name of the wife of one of the kings of Israel. His name was Ahab. And you know how Jezebel was such a wicked person. She had such a control over her husband. And we see the same character in this woman of Revelation 2 verse 20. Number one, we are told that she calls herself a prophetess. Now, when you call yourself a prophetess, you are claiming a position to speak on behalf of God. And this woman hasn't really been called by God, but she has taken this place for herself. She calls herself a prophetess. Now, a biblical prophetess is not a teacher. A true prophetess, like Anna the prophetess we read about in the book of Luke, is a prophesier. She is a microphone through which God can speak his words directly to the people. And that is what entails prophesying. Your mind is passive and it's the voice of God which is fully active when you are prophesying. Now, a woman can be a prophetess. But a woman can never be a pastor, a woman can never be an evangelist or any of the ascension ministries. Because those gifts are the authority of Jesus Christ in the church. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. These men are given the authority to teach, to expound the word of God. Not just to teach, but to carry the authority of the word. To enforce discipline in a congregation. To give instruction. To judge over matters. And it is for that reason that in the book of Hebrews, Apostle Paul says, respect those who rule over you. He is talking about preachers and elders in the faith. That privilege has never been given to a woman. But this prophetess, we continue reading that she calleth herself a prophetess and then to teach and to seduce my servants. So this woman was, she took on herself the authority to be a teacher in the church, even ruling over other ministers. Now, we are aware that these things happen in Pentecostal churches where a woman can be a pastor, a woman can be a leader. And the thing is, when a wrong thing is done over and over again and over a long period of time, it becomes a culture and a social norm among people. Then people begin to see like it's a normal thing. And then when a voice of reason rises and says, that's not the right thing to do, because everyone is in the wrong and they've been doing it for generations, a person who speaks the right thing sounds like an oddball, someone who doesn't make sense, someone who seems to be crazy with his ideas. So, women being pastors and preachers has become so normal that when you show the scriptures to the people, they look at you as though you are speaking something which is so foreign and strange in the Christian doctrine. What has happened? The Bible is no longer the authority of many Christian churches. It's men's ideas which are ruling. Why? Preachers are feeding on Bible college stuff, what they were taught. So people no longer have a calling from God. When they want to start a church, they go to a Bible school. And it is in that Bible school where they are taught doctrine. And they are taught why a woman can preach. And I tell you one thing. One thing a Bible college does is it blinds people. Muntu akachoka ku Bible college uzamuonesa malembo, no matter how clear they are, azachitandota, even if aviverenga Bible. And you see what happens? You can take this Bible, show it to a person. If the person reads it, they say, I'll go and ask my pastor about it. That's another thing which has happened. Pastors have become the authority in the church, not the word of God. Now let us go to 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. So, Brother Mansa, your interpreting has to be clear, precise, because there are many who are depending on what you are speaking. Don't cut or eat any words. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33 to 38. I want us to read the first verse, all of us. So, if you've come with a Bible, I want you to open the Bible, and can we read it together? If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
So 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33, shall we read? For God is not the author. It's not everyone who is reading. I said I want everyone to read. I can still hear pages flipping. Shall we read? For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now, this which is being written here, it is being directed to some of the churches? Is that what the scripture says? Well,
some preachers say, you know, Paul was writing this because of a certain problem which happened in a place called Corinth. So, they say it was a special rule for that church because of a problem they were dealing with. What does Paul say as he's dealing with this problem? For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Is that correct? Now, he says, God is not the author of confusion. God can't cause confusion. Look at that word confusion. When you check this word in the original Greek, it is the word akatastasia. And it means disorder. That's not a good translation. It means disorder. I don't know how we can translate order in Nyanja or in Chewa. Yeah, I think Msokonezo is better. Huh? God is not the author of confusion or disorder. That word disorder is made up of two words, dis and order. Alright? So when you say disorder, it tells you first there is such a thing called order. And when order is taken out of place, what you have is that right? Okay? Now, so for you to understand what disorder is, you need to understand what is order. Order means a place for everything and everything in its place and functioning the way it was made to function. That is order. They also work according to how they're supposed to work according to their place. Then you have order. Now, we have what is called order because not everything is the same. If everything is the same, whichever way you look at, everything is the same thing, you can't talk about order because everything is uniform. But we are speaking of order and disorder because things are different. And because things are different, it means each thing has a place and its work and its duty. So zintu zonse zina malo. Are we together? Zintu zonse zinalengedwa na nkhalidwe. Manje pamene chinthu chimozi chifuna chisinte chisinte nkhalidwe chinkhale ngati chinthu china, then now we are saying there is disorder. Now hear this. Where there is order, tikakamba kuti mankhalidwe abwino, certain meaning is lost. Where there is order, who can help with a proper Nyanja translation of that? Not where there is peace. Where there is order, a thing functioning according to its role, according to its function, a thing being in its place. Pali mundondomeko. Abanda. Ah, machimvera chauka chatama. Not chamulusaka. Kambani futa bale. Aha. Where there is order,
there will be peace.
Are you seeing that peace is a result of order? Peace is a result of order. Mutendele umankalapo pamene chintu chiri chonse chiri mmalo mwake. Zamveka hizo? Where there is order, there is peace. That's number one. Again, where there is order, there is prosperity. Are you hearing that? When there is order, number one, there is peace. When everything is in order, there will also be prosperity. Pankara chitukuko. Now God says, let's go back and read 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. God is not the author of confusion, but he is the author of what? Peace. So, when God makes things, in other words, God puts order, and out of that order, peace comes, prosperity comes. Now, what God authors, or what God creates, it doesn't lack what it needs. What God authors will come equipped, number one, with ability. Chintu cholengedwa na Mulungu nthawi zonse chimapasidwa mphamvu yokuchita chamene chifanuko chita. God will never create something and tell it to do something, then it is failing to do that thing. So what God authors or creates comes equipped with ability. Let us say ability. Number two, what God authors is always equipped with a desire to achieve its purpose. So takamba kuti chintu cholengedwa na Mulungu, ngati ni Mulungu achilenga, chimankhala chopasidwa mphamvu ya kuchita zija zinthu zamene chinalengedwa kuti chizichita. Number two, chija chinthu chalengedwa na Mulungu chizankhala na chilakolako chakukwanilisa lingo yamene Mulungu anachilengera. Are we understanding the second point?
Amen.
Number three, what God authors or creates is equipped with discernment, it will be able to discern when the purpose it was made to achieve is not being achieved. Chizamvela kuti apa sichina kwanirisike chamene nifani kwanirisa. So ngati chinthu chalengedwa na Mulungu chizankhala chizamvela kuti koma ii sinkhalidwe yamene na yamene vananilengera. Are you understanding that?
Okay.
Number one, cholengedwa na Mulungu china mphamvu ya kuchita ntchito yake. Number two, chizankhala na chilakolako ya kukwanirisa ija lingo Mulungu anachilengera. Number three, chizankhala na mphamvu yokumvela ngati ija lingo sinakwanirisike. Three things. Think about a fish. Have you ever heard any time on the news that, tamvera nsomba kuinambira? Chinamveka kwecho? Have you ever heard on the news that there is a fish which drowned? That cannot be. Because a fish was designed with the ability to swim, to live in water. A fish has a desire to be in water. Take it out of water, it will start flipping. it will start desiring to go back in the water. And when you take it out of water, why is it flipping? Why is it jerking? It is discerning. It knows this is not what I am. You won't find a fish sleeping and having a good time and it's out of water. It says, oh, I'm out of water. I didn't know I'm out of water. No, it can never be. Immediately it's not in water, there is a system mechanism inside it to know we were not meant to be in the air. That is why you will never see fish going to a swimming school. If you see a fish going to a swimming school, just know it was made in China. It's not a real fish. You understand that? When you see a preacher says, I desire to preach, let me go to a Bible school. Let him go. He's not a God-called preacher. He's a man-made preacher. Because God puts a calling in his people. I was reading something on the MIT website. MIT, this is Massachusetts Institute of Technology, well-known Institute of Technology in the U.S. They've been studying, they were talking about researchers, how they've been studying a fish. And I loved these words. They say, when it comes to swimming, fish demonstrates effortless grace and power that humans can only dream of. That's beautiful. When it comes to swimming, fish demonstrates effortless grace and power that humans can only dream of. Hey, that is a very serious thing. People who study biology, even physics, they've been studying how does a fish swim? Can you imagine? They were researching over this for 50 years. Because here is what research has shown. In 60 minutes, 60, in 1 hour, a fish, that's the fastest fish, will travel 112 kilometers in 60 minutes. 100 kilometers is, can you give me an estimate of a distance? Those who are good at that. 100 kilometers in terms of these towns we live in. It's from where to where? 100 kilometers. Now, from here to Chiwombo, a fish is able to move in an hour. What if it's you walking on your 2 feet? How long can you move? How long can it take to move from here to Chiwombo? Huh? 4 hours. How long can it take? Huh? Ate? 30 hours. Machaking hapa Google. You want to say Google? Okay, so you're saying 30 hours. So 30 hours is close to one and another day, isn't it? Now, okay, let us remove walking. Let us put swimming. Let's say we are in a river, very long river. If you take a fish here and a human being here, a fish will reach Chiwombo in 1 hour. A human being, in 1 hour, he would have only covered 4 kilometers. Now, 4 kilometers is from where to where? Use the same Chiwombo direction. 4 kilometers is from where to where? Yeah. 4 kilometers
It means, you know, just from that end to that end, you are not even yet out of our road here. If it is swimming. So they say, a fish can move 112 kilometers in 1 hour. It would have already swum. Then for a man, it would take 4 kilometers to cover an hour, something like this. Well, you can research if it's that confusing. But the point is, this is what they said, exactly how a fish manage this feat is something of a mystery. It's a mystery. How does it manage to do this? Physicists, biologists, and engineers have long puzzled over the characteristic undulatory motion and the hydrodynamic forces it generates. So they've been studying this for quite a long time, I think for many years, wanting to understand how does a fish, why does it swim so quickly? And it seems not to be making effort. They studied that and they called it a mystery. Until later on, they discovered that it has a lot of tendon muscles and they move in such a rhythmic way, each movement propels it faster. So you may just see like its end tail is just moving like this, but there are many other muscles which are also at work, which propels it like that. And it seems to do that without effort. And a human being can never achieve that because he was never designed with those features. You see the reason why a fish does not go to a swimming school? There is a certain order designed in its body. Those fins are for a purpose. Its shape, the way it is like that, it is because of where it was designed to live. Now, brothers and sisters, whatever God makes, he puts an order. And the victory, the happiness, the joy of any creature is in the order that God established for it. Now, there are different kinds of orders. There is what you can physical order at the level of physical things. That can be biological, physical things, the way you are designed to be. When you read Job 38, verse 33, the scripture says, you know, do you know the ordinances or the laws that govern the heavens, the universe? So the way the earth rotates around the sun, there is an order. The way gravity attracts, it doesn't just do it anyhow. There is a measured order, a mathematical precision. But there is also social order in human society. There is social order. Let us read Job 31, verse 1. What you notice is that all these forms of order, there is a consequence for violating them. Ngati malamulo. Ngati malo yamene chintu chinalengedwamo tayasula kapena tayasokoneza nthawi zonse nishipazankhala msokonezo pamene tapwanya ndandamiko mulungu yamene analenga. Job 31 verse 1. I want you to notice what Job said. Shall we read? I made a covenant with mine eyes, why then should I think upon a maid? So Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes. I shouldn't look upon a woman. or a young girl to start thinking wrong things. Why did Job make such a covenant with his eyes? He was a righteous man. He was God-fearing, wasn't he? He was a God-fearing man, right? But for him to live right and to avoid certain wrong things, he said, I had to make a covenant with my eyes. Why? There is a social order. When God says, I need to marry a woman and we get married, that is your wife. That is your husband. There has to be that order in the way you relate. There are things a man needs to do. There are certain things a woman needs to do. And if there is that order, we said out of order comes what? What's the result of order? Peace. What's the other thing that comes out of order? Prosperity. Where there is order, there will be peace, there will be prosperity. There is another kind of order, a spiritual order. For us to get closer to God, we have to be prayerful. That's a spiritual order. If we have to overcome spiritually, we need to follow the word of God. One thing about order is this. When you despise order, instead of peace, there will be confusion. There will be tension. That confusion, it's not because the confusion just loves you. It's because an order has been broken. You break the laws of physics. You break the laws of biology. Instead of eating clean food, you eat contaminated food. Cholera gets in your body. And instead of feeling good, the body feels bad. Instead of the body being at peace, the body is sick. Likewise, spiritual order requires us to pray, requires us to follow the word of God. When you read 1 Chronicles chapter, is it 15? We see a spiritual order which was violated. What happened? When you start from verse chapter 13, you can read it in your own time. David desired to bring the Ark of Covenant to the rightful place. And what he was doing was a good thing. What he was doing was what? Why? He wanted to respect the Ark of Covenant. He called all the people. Thousands. He consulted the elders. He said the Ark of Covenant is in a place where it's not supposed to be. According to the scriptures, it is supposed to be in such and such a place. That much was a good thing. But doing a good thing does not always mean you are doing the right thing. You can do a good thing when it's done at a wrong time or in a wrong way, it becomes a wrong thing. Is that correct? You know that a man and a woman meeting to produce children, that's a thing which was ordained of God, right? But it can be done at a wrong time.
it can be done in a wrong way. And a child will be born. But the due order of God's word hasn't been followed. Now look at this. David organized a celebration. The musicians came with their trumpets. And what does the Bible say? In 1 Chronicles 13, verse 7, they even bought a new cart. In those days, a cart was like a hearse, a vehicle. They got a new one. Maybe they decorated it. Maybe they painted it. Why were they doing that? They wanted to honor God. Is that right? Hello? They wanted to worship God. Read verse 7. 1 Chronicles 13 verse 7. And they carried the ark of God in what? I can't hear you. They carried it in a? Out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart, and David and all Israel. Now, look at how powerful the praise and worship service was. Shall we all read verse 8? And David and all Israel played before God with all their... You see that? They played with all their might. In other words, they were dancing with energy. These were not Baptists. Hey, they were not new apostolic. Or Jehovah Witnesses were, you know, we're not even here. Because Jehovah Witnesses are very quiet, you know, they sing very orderly. But here the Bible says they came before God with what? All their... Mm-hmm. What other thing did they do? And with... I can't hear you, saints. And with?
Sing.
And with?
Sing.
And with psalteries. And with timbrels. And with cymbals. And with? That is how a praise and worship service used to look like in the Old Testament. And you think praise and worshiping God, you have to come starch and cold. Who told you that? From here you can see how they used to do it, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
They came with trumpets, drums, timbrels, and all that. But then something happened. They were dancing with all their might. Not the way some of us do things when it's time to... Is that dancing with your might? Huh? You're seeing people are rejoicing and praising the Lord. What spirit do you have? Because you rejoice, I mean, your spirit rejoices what you feed on, isn't it? David said, the Bible says that the king danced. Who read it? When we come before the Lord, we need to know how to approach Him. Do you understand that? You take away your smartness out. You don't... Sunyengezera voice. You know? You are just... You sing out praising the Lord. He is our creator. In the moments when I had nothing, in the moments when I cried in sickness, I cried out to Him. He answered my prayer. I have a reason to worship Him. Amen.
Amen.
I love people who rejoice at the mighty works of their God. Hallelujah. But something happened here. As they were dancing with all their might, the trumpeters were busy trumpeting. As the oxen were carrying the cart. Pamene izinyama zenze donsa kochikare. It stumbled. Kapena inajeka pamwala kaya zamine zina shitika. The thing wanted to fall over.
Ark of Covenant. Ark of Covenant should not fall, number one. Number two, it should not be handled by any hand. When it stumbled, one man called Uzzah, he reached out his hand wanting to protect it from falling. He grabbed it. And in verse 10, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. Then praise and worship yonse inazizira. Because when the ark was about to fall, this man touched the thing he wasn't supposed to touch. And God killed him. And the whole praise and worship stopped. Is it because God didn't like the trumpets? God didn't like the noise? No. We worship the Lord with noise. But there was something done which was not right. They had good intentions to get a new cart and put the ark there. But when you read the law of Moses, people who are supposed to carry the ark are priests. They put it on the shoulders. A vehicle was a nice thing, but you don't compromise with God's word. So later on, David said, let's read what he says in chapter 15. Verse 13. This is what David said to the priests, the Levites. Shall we read it? For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us. Can you read those last words again? For that. You see what David says? God killed Uzzah. For what reason? We did not seek God or do things after the
due order.
What was the order? The Levites. Verse 14. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. You see that? And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And then after this, you can read it in your own time. What happened? When they carried it. What happened? The Bible says David danced. He danced so mightily with all everything in him. You know? Verse 28. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the cornet. You know, I always wonder, how would Jehovah Witnesses have behaved with such noise? I remember one Jehovah Witness telling me, why is it that Muchachman, we are pempera. So, the problem you make God you think is like you. You see, I don't have a problem if that's the order they want, but that means David and his people are not Jehovah Witnesses, and I identify with David. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with what? With shouting. We are reading verse 28, chapter 15, verse 28. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with?
Shouting.
And with? Sound of the cornet. And with?
Shouting.
And with?
Shouting.
Making?
Shouting.
With psalteries and harps. And it came to pass as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out a window, saw King David dancing and playing. And she despised them in her heart. You know, David danced so mightily that as he was dancing, his garment must have been flapping, and the wife looked at that and she said, how does a king dance like that? Eh? And when David entered the house, the madam called him by the side. How can a king dance in such a dishonorable way? Anakumudusidwa David. Some of you like kumudusidwa on anything. How can you do that? You know what he answered? Who remembers what he answered? Do you know what he answered? What did David answer his wife? The wife is telling him, why did you undress yourself? Why did you dance like that? What did David answer?
He
says, actually, I didn't do it very well. I needed to do it worse than that. But you know the problem? Miko thought she was just passing a comment, but God heard what she said. What did God do? Those who've read the story, what did God do to Miko? Huh? Kester. Closed the womb. Susan Karanavana. You see, saints? There are two extremes to this. There are these charismatics who've gone so wildly with their music and they claim they are dancing for the Lord. That's a direct translation by a Bemba man. You know, they've gone wild in terms of they dance and put on all this crazy Hollywood stuff and they say we are dancing for the Lord. But you can see that's a worldly thing. But when people are dancing in the spirit and you are spiritual, you will know this is the holy noise of God. Is that right? You know, Brother Branham used to be a Baptist. And you know, Baptists, they are very orderly. Now, you read one testimony Brother Branham has. I was reading it last week. Those were the early years of Brother Branham coming among. Well, the Lord had called him. He was a preacher, but his church was still very orderly. You know the way they do things. But one day there's this group which came from another Pentecostal group. And you know, they attend Brother Branham's church service. And as they started worshiping, there's this sister who stood up. She started dancing. And the story says she came like forward. Eh? They started going around, dancing. And another brother, and all these bunch, you know, they came from the same church. Another one joined. They started going around. And Brother Branham is sitting there, you know, as a pastor, you know. He hasn't come from that background. Before he realizes, the circle starts growing big and people are rejoicing. And when he saw them, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And you know, they're so carried in the spirit. And Brother Branham says, you know, his heart started condemning that. Why are they doing this in the house of God? Why are they doing it in the house of God? Then another thought came through to his mind about how the people of God praised and worshipped God. Brother Branham says, before I realized it, I was also in front, you know, going around. So, Brother Branham says, I've once danced on the floor, you know, and you know, he says, but it was in the house of God. Now, listen to me. That is how bad a judgmental attitude is. But when someone is spirit-filled, they'll be able to hear the voice of God and step aside when they need to learn something. Very few people, very few amongst us can have an attitude like Brother Branham had. Praise God. He had an ability to discern that this is the Spirit of God. Now, coming back to this, this is our heritage. You see, when you're a human being, you behave as a human being. If you're a cow behaves as a cow. Born again, children of God, there is a similar behavior and trait. Why? They are moving in the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you and your heart can freely flow with it, you are going to do certain things. Right? Now, that is not something you act. It is something that happens when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Praise God. Well, one thing we learn from this story, there is a spiritual order. David was such a humble man. No wonder he was a man after God's heart. They were dancing, they were praising, they were worshipping, and then God kills one person. Hey, David knew something is wrong here. Hey, let's go back to our homes. Wow, what has happened? He went to seek the Lord. Lord, wow, what has happened, Lord? He consulted until they found the answer. We carried the ark on a new thing. According to our imaginations, according to our ideas, it was supposed to be carried by Levites, the priests, according to the word of God. When they were corrected in the spirit, they were not proud. Said, let's go do it again. We now know the right way to do it. Did they stop their dancing? They danced even more. These were humble people, willing to learn and being led by the Spirit. Amen. May we have such a heart. Praise God. Now, we've talked about a physical order. We've talked about social order. We've talked about spiritual order. There is also economic order. Everyone say economic order. These orders govern human life. Break them at your own peril. Okay, I need three people to read the following verses. You please stand up. One person to read Proverbs 12, verse 24. Who's going to read that? Proverbs 12, verse 24. I need people who can read loud. Brother Lungu, you read Proverbs 12, 24. Who reads Proverbs 22, verse 13? Proverbs 22, verse 13. Brother Tenson, Proverbs 22, verse 13. Brother Mansa, you read Proverbs 24, verse 30 to 34. Now, I want you to read aloud. We're looking at economic order. Proverbs 12, verse 24. Please, you can read that. Proverbs 12, verse 24. So when we talk about economic order, we are talking about rules which govern our livelihood on earth. Things which affect you accessing food, you succeeding in life, that's a different order, an economic order. Proverbs 12, verse 24.
The hand of the diligent shall bear rule.
The hand of what?
The hand of the diligent shall bear rule.
Now, hold there. He says, the hand of a person who is diligent shall do what? A diligent person is a person who is focused in life. A person who adds energy to whatever they do. If it's a business, they are disciplined. There is a message which was preached by Pastor Billy Joseph. I said everyone needs to listen to it, especially we African brethren. Now, a diligent person is a person, when he has an opportunity to work or to do something, they apply their energy to that. If it's a small shop you have, 6 o'clock, it's already open.
6 hours you have to go.
Not today, it opens at 9, tomorrow at 10. Another day you feel like I'm busy, the shop will be closed. Another day you are broke, you say, tizatengamo mshop vamene vinde vamene tizasebenzesa. When that shop collapses, you don't say, hey, let me go in prayer and fasting for a financial breakthrough. No. You are breaking an economic order. You break that order, you won't be able to establish that thing. So can you read that again, brother?
The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute.
Can you see that? Let me read that in Good News Bible. Hard work will give you power. Being lazy will make you a slave. That is true. God bless you, brother. This is an economic order. When you don't work, you don't apply focus and thrust and precision to what you do, it will go nowhere. Now, 20 people can be selling the same commodity at a marketplace. Mark one person there who is diligent. He will rule over all of them. You go ahead of the game. A person who is focused, a person who really wants this thing to work, a person who does it as a by the way thing. That person cannot take a lead in that business. Diligence is very important. A slothful means a person who is lazy. Today they seem to be, zealous. The other day they are not applying effort. They'll go nowhere with what they're doing. Proverbs 22, verse 13. Did you hear that? Read that again, brother. Let me read in Good News. Lazy people stay at home. They say a lion might get them if they go outside. Hey, you've seen people like that? Ni chansumu yesako kuchitaka business kaswat. Ah, nimvela ina losi jayo fya na ninga losing endarama zamene nilinazo. Manje ulova ndiye answer. There are people who always want to do something on the pretext and the excuse that they've heard something that, it's not as profitable. They've heard that people don't succeed in that. Fine, if people don't succeed in that, find something else to do. Here Solomon is talking about people who have gone in a state of inactivity because of laziness, yet they pretend it's because they fear certain risks.
Solomon,
you know, there are young people like that. Grade 12 verses. Maybe they've done training somewhere and all that. They see nothing wrong. Just being kept and pushed around. Every time they'll ask for something. When you tell them, I don't have, they even get angry. They feel you owe them something. Have you ever seen characters like that? You know there are characters like that? If you're a young person, don't live life like that. You will not be young forever. And then there are those wafuna kuyambila chabe vapa ngwamba. Wakamvela kuliko job opportunity uko. What kind of job opportunity is it? Ukamlonda, ah, ni mawan. You know there are young people like that? Atukuli opportunity uko. Yolima. Aenda pamira zuona natuma necktie. You know, avara na jacket, especially these young people of today, avara na totina tuma trousers, kuoneka like in olemera. Koma mupocket mulibe na 10 kwacha. You've seen young people like that? Nchito ni pamamira. Wanting to look good. Doesn't work like that. And foolish young women, when they're looking for a husband, ujamena gwira kambwiri, ujamena apara ukaujana ukamlon that, it's not my type. It's not your type. What is your type? Kabwera kam kairo rodi, pointed shoes at my type. Kaza kufaka ma problems. Chufuwa kunyumba kasungiwa, waka jesa. Kakunda chabe va smart. There is a time to reach a certain level. All of us started from there. Kuparauka. You see a man with dirty hands and is sweating. There is more of a future than a young chap with pointed shoes who is doing nothing. Do you know that? You find a young man who is dirty under the vehicle there with the grease in his hands. There is more of a future in that young man. My type. You marry such a chap, you'll be the one who'll be feeding him. A man was never meant to be looking in the mirror. 30 minutes, as kwanza. Akaenda ku barber shop, washto danda lock barber shop, but we are very particular. To see, to glewe so, chesula, and all that. A man! That's a perversion! I get worried when a young man just loves looks. Set minutes per mirror. Mamuna powder na powder. Mamuna. Hey, you know these things are happening. Eh? I see them around me. Young men wanting to look extra smart, they will put a little gel so that to sis tuankarako shine to apangatima caves. I don't know, kill. You see a young man like that, that's not a good thing. It's not a good sign. When they go to college, they want attention from the young girls. Yeah, that's the purpose. A young man shouldn't be so obsessed with looks. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying a good young man is one who is dirty. No, that's not what we're saying. Those also have a package of their problems. We're simply saying, be decent, be gentle. Don't walk out of here every time ununga kanchena to know we are humble. That's not what we're saying. You need to be clean, you need to live right. But a man is a man, shouldn't behave like a girl. So Proverbs, we've read Proverbs 22 verse 13. Lazy people stay at home. They say a lion might get them if they go outside. If you're a young man, find something to do. If you sweat, there is integrity in sweat. Don't love fast things. Don't love looks. Don't stay at home. They just call you, oh, a man? No. When you are a young man, the integrity of man is in bringing something on the table. Even if it's little, or wakusunga, after you've done your peace works there. Don't just spend that to buy a new shirt. Buy a bag of milimil, a bread. You are coming home, all wakusunga, there is integrity in that. So, oh, you've got some cabbage, some rep. There is a future in that young man. Amen. Let us read the last one, Proverbs 24, verse 30 to 34. Yes, Proverbs 24, verse 30. Now, so, okay, sorry, Brother Mansa. I want to read this in Good News Bible because it makes it sound good. Now, Proverbs 24, verse 30. I walked through the fields and vineyards of a lazy, stupid person. Someone said, well, we've heard you sometimes use the word stupid. It's in the scripture. I walked through the fields and vineyards of a lazy, stupid person. They were full of thorn bushes and overgrown with weeds. The stone wall around them had fallen down. I looked at this, thought about it, and learned a lesson from it. Have a nap and sleep if you want to. Fold your hands and rest a while. But while you are asleep, poverty will attack you like an armed robber. So Solomon says, I went to the field. Ninaenda kumunda kwa huyu mtu wa ulesi huyu mtu wa pusa. Ninaona munda wake mwenze minga. Mumunda mwake mwenze viuzu. Mumunda mwake zindu zinapangidwa zinzoneka zonongeka onongeka. Solomon anajabu akuti manje huyo mati ni munda wa mtu huyo. Ni chani china lengesa so ana malo ya bwino. Koma onani sanga ya mene ilipo. Solomon akuti ninapunzira po chimozi. Kuti ulesi wakuti ni mangeko chabe manja pangono, ni pumleko pangono, aleka ni goneko ni pangono chabe ni gonako, atinde mwamine viambira kuti inkare sanga. Ulesi wapangono pangono kuti nizaka vichita mairo, apa ni pumleko nizinare malero, so sinza li malero. Ati ivo, deva mine vikuli sa sanga, mumunda, munda wandani wa mundho pusa. That is King Solomon. What do we learn from this? One can go to the mountain and be in fasting. Lord, I want to prosper. Lord, I want to succeed. Chifukande mapempero yali ku mountain manje. One day I'll drive. One day I'll break. Lord, I receive. The economic order, the law of economics, the way God has created the world, you need to work to end. Even God can only bless the works of your hands. Mulungu adalisa zinchito zachani zamanja yako. Not 40 days, I receive. When you read in the scriptures, when Adam sinned, God said, now you will sweat out of tilling the ground. It does not mean Adam never used to till the ground before. The difference was after sin, it's harder and there is now sweating. Are you getting it? Because in the beginning, God said, there is no man to till the ground, so now let me make man. Meaning even before the sin, God wanted man to take over the garden, to give charge, what the serpent was supposed to do, what the animals were supposed to do. Man needed to work to beautify what God had put in his hands. So that is an economic order. There is order in that. You destroy that order. Instead of peace, there will be confusion. Are you saying that? If a man just stays at home,
And sadly, this is what is happening even in the villages. Men go to drink. Women go kumunda. Men just drink. In and out. A woman now is the one who is laboring, looking for food to bring it home. If you are a man and you do such a thing. Now, let us go to the order that God established. Quickly. I need to mention this as we move on. Look, there is an established God has put in place. When that order is violated, or when it is broken down, it can be improvised. Pamene order o chintu mwene chifani kwa sewenzira ngati chaono ngeka chakuti tilibe mpamvu yochikonza Mulungu anati pasadanga ya kuchita improvise. Improvise means tiese kwa kufaka po chintu china chake kutichita chintu chiese kwa kukwani lisalingo. For example, there is a way a human being was made to walk. Accident ya chitika, kwendo ya panika. Ukaenda ku hospital wazakamba, chaipa ichi chintu. Koma, tientu tengeko kapena nsimbi, tifake mkati. Akwaniseko chabe kuta kaziendako. You understand that? So when an order is violated, it is in the ability of human beings to improvise. Everyone say improvise. Improvise means tiese kukuchita chintu china chache kuti chibwezekeko mwamine chenze fanika kusevenze rako. So tika faka nsimbi wakapena takupasa choe nde rako sikuti ni chabwino wakapena nde mwamine chenze fanika nkalira koma chikutandizako at least uyesa kuyendako. Amen?
Amen.
Now in the same vein, let us read the following things. Now look at this. You can read this in your own time. We are looking at how spiritual order can be broken, and because things have gone out of place, God permits improvisation. Now, you don't see a person with a broken leg and say, I think having iron in the leg is good. Let me go take out the good leg and I put an iron inside. Is that a normal thing to do? No. You can't now say, I saw a person, he has iron in there. I think it looks nice and strong. Let me also do that. Now, wafaka, it alters, you start walking in a certain way. No. The person did not desire to be like that. They improvised. Now, in the same way, there are certain things which happened, even in the spiritual order. It was not God's perfect will, but something had to be improvised. For example, let us read Isaiah 3 verse 4. Say amen if you are there.
Amen.
Okay, let us read that. Isaiah 3 verse 4. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Can I ask, is that a nice thing? Because babies are designed to be led. Koma mulungwa panakalipa akuti, nizawapa savana kuti wankalowa la mulira. So manje mwana akambola mulira, it doesn't mean kabebi katita mulira chifuniro cha mulungu. I think manje tenti ambofaka wa bebi ambe kutita mulira. Order had broken down and God was doing it as a punishment on the people. Verse 12. Let us all read verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. All my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. So, in the Jewish society, when a woman was leading, it was not a blessing. It was a sign that social order had broken down. And the trouble is, people got used and they thought it was a normal thing for a woman to be ruling. People would say, oh, Deborah was anointed by God to lead the nation of Israel. And they made a doctrine out of that to say a woman can lead us. Because God had raised Deborah. That is as foolish as seeing a person from an accident putting an iron in the leg and you say, I can also start putting an iron in my leg. Let us go to Judges 4 verse 9. We hear what Deborah herself said. What did Deborah say? Because we know Deborah was an anointed prophetess of God. But now when you read Judges 4 verse 1, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. So you can see Israel is backslidden. Israel is not walking in the way of the Lord. And in verse 9, when you read the whole chapter, Israel needed to go for war. And the army approached Deborah to say, you need to go with us. Can you imagine? A bunch of all these powerful men and soldiers, they want a woman to go with them. Why? Because she was a prophetess. They wanted to know what was the will of God as they go for war. In case she sees a vision, she needs to tell them. So they were begging her, follow us. Now, number one, it wasn't just right for a woman to accompany for war. When it was the prophet Samuel, they had no problem. They just called him. He needs to come and offer the sacrifice as we are going for war, right? But why did they have to beg a woman, please, you need to come with us? That in itself shows you there was social order which was broken. And let us hear what the woman herself said. Verse 8, and Barak said unto her, if thou will go with me, then I'll go. But if thou will not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, verse 9, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Are you hearing the words of Deborah? She says, I'll go with you, but you need to know the glory shall not go into you as a man. But it shall be said, it shall be declared that Sisera has been put sword into the hand of a woman. Do you see that her expression shows an abnormal social order? Malankuli dwea Deborah yaone sakuti izi sizenze mamene zenze fani kuchitikira. That's why Deborah says bati chizale mbedwa chizazivika kuti mulungu anatenga Sisera country yao Sisera na kuifakiza mmanja mamzimai. All that shows you it wasn't a normal thing to happen. Matthew 19 verse 8 to 9. Matthew 19 verse 8. Matthew 19 verse 8. Matthew 19 verse 8. He saith unto them, okay, verse 7. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Now, remember, Moses in Deuteronomy 24,
had taught the Israelites,
and also not Israel.
If you want to divorce, you can divorce a woman. Why did he do such a thing? Does it mean God loved it? Because the people who read the Bible like that, you know, they say, hey, Moses did this, so we are supposed to do it. And so they come to Jesus. They say, hey, Moses allowed us to divorce. What do you say about it? The question is, why were they asking that to Jesus? They knew that his character obviously won't be for divorce. Why did they think like that about him? They knew the right thing in their hearts. That's why they were asking him that. They want to put him in a corner by using the court of Moses. But he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Did you hear that? The Lord Jesus says, divorce, sichifuniro cha Mulungu. Moze anakupasani yola mulo chifukwa chakulimba chakukosa za mitima yanu. Otherwise sichifuniro cha Mulungu. If you marry a woman, you stay together until death do you part. Now look at this. When order has been broken, we can improvise. Now, order can be broken because of maybe an accident or something terrible has happened. So, okay, let us improvise. However, order can be broken because of an outright protest or perversion. People just want to break and destroy that. In their revolt against that order. Transgender. A man becoming a woman. That is directly, willfully choosing to break the biological order God has put in place. Is that right? Homosexuality. Homosexuality. Outright perversion. Wanting to break order. Feminism. Women can rule also. We can do what men can do. There's nothing like a man has to be head over me. Now, you know the Bible says a woman is a weaker vessel. Is that Bible? Is that the Bible? It's in the scriptures. Women are weaker vessels. Kamban bueno. A woman is a weaker vessel. Let's read that scripture. First Peter 3, verse 7. Now, if you were feeling tired at any point, I want you to wake up at this point as we are winding up, because I want you to not to miss this thought. So put your mind together and try to catch what we're trying to speak now. First Peter 3, verse 7. I want all of us to read loud as you can. First Peter 3, verse 7. Shall we read? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto their wife. Now, most brothers just love, the Bible says women are weaker vessels.
kujumpira hii amene taverenga. Let us read this also. Giving what? Mwezi mwaverenga mpamvu papo yamba. Tenti verenga na mpamvu nai. Akuti? Giving? Say it again. Giving? So a godly man won't take the advantage of scriptures to abuse his woman. Don't just say a woman is a weaker vessel. What jumpira kuti give honor to women. Tim verses as a minute can buy. Bible si kamba chape kuti nuofokera, ikamba kuti tiremekeze azimai. Is that right? What does that mean? Giving honor unto the woman as what? How do you honor her? As unto the weaker vessel. The honor is attached to her being a weak vessel. A woman doesn't have the strength of a man. The body physique tells that. Is that right? A man is muscular, isn't it? They were designed to perform certain work. Right? Men, we are muscular. A woman? No. It's against order. But you know what worldly people do? A woman goes to the gym. The muscles get strong. And they say, you see, a woman can do what a man can do. Oh, how ridiculous is that? Do you know you can train a monkey to ride a bicycle? Does that make a monkey a human being? Order can be altered. Order can be altered. Unga bend the order by your will, by your choice, by going out of the due order. You can do that. Do you know that? Do you know you can train an elephant to march and people are clapping at the circus? It does not mean an elephant was made to do that. That is a perversion of order. Is that correct? You know, you can train your leg to start writing. To write perfectly. And you can even go in the Guinness book to say he writes perfectly with his leg. That does not mean a leg is used for writing. You've just altered order. So you don't say, let us support the girl child. You see, the girl child is intelligent. You see, the girl child can rule. A girl child can, and then we say, you see, the Bible is outdated. You can alter order. That doesn't mean you've put it right. Haven't we altered water? What was water designed for? To quench thirst. Kuti atichose njota. Sima men. Haven't we altered water? Tafakamo mpepo. Carbon. Taipasa na color. Orange. Kapena Coca-Cola. Ya kutitikama. Ah, umvera bueno. Wamvera na bueno kukosi. Can it replace water? Keep drinking that Coca-Cola. It will produce a problem in your body. You can alter water into Coca-Cola. That doesn't mean we should stop drinking water. Let us start living on Coca-Cola. You put problems in your body. So you see some churches, a woman preacher, akalalikira oyo mzimai kutoka from one end of the pulpit, akuti, oh, koma busa nene naona na mzimu era unabwera, tinaona machiriso, ni mulungu anambuitana ojakuti. You can beautify things. You can put drama. You can dance. You can. A woman can even preach. I remember one time Danny Pule. You know, Danny Pule used to say. you know, Danny Pule wasn't a good preacher. I don't know whether he has become a good preacher now anyway. Much of his preaching was ha 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 ha. I mean, we used to go there. Now, he used to have his wife. I can't remember her name, but she used to preach. Janet, huh? You know, he used to have a white woman. That woman was the preacher. And some Sundays, she used to preach. And people used to say, the woman preaches better than him. And you know, one day he came with his Bible. You know, people say, my wife Janet Hart preaches better than me. Glory to God. Wow. You can make a woman give her scriptures, teach her what to say, do this and that. You can take her shamefacedness out of her until she preaches like a man. You've just made water into Coca-Cola, and yes, it may taste better. That does not mean it's water. Water has no taste. Did you know that? Water seems not to have color. Did you notice that? But it's the best medicine for your body. Nothing can replace it. 70% of your body is water. Try to convert that and put 70% of your body to be Coca-Cola. You'll be in the mortuary. You can never beat God's order, no matter how simple it looks. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of God adds no sorrow. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of God addeth no sorrow. Yes. When God says, water is good for your body. Drink water, it will never give you a problem. Amen? When God says, eat the vegetable, this is where you came from. When you eat vegetable, when you eat fruit, it provides immunity for your body. These are things God ordered. But start living on alcohol. Panga mowa chinkare chaku dia chako. Liver, papwa, izao nongeka. Why is it like that? It was never meant to be consumed in your body. Cigarette. Why does it cause cancer? Why does it cause chest problems? It is contrary to order. Let's come to the woman. Watch. Now, remember what I said. When a thing is in its place, it is in order. What will come out of that? Peace and prosperity. Ngati chintu chiri mmalo mwake chizankara ndi mtendere na chitukuko. Amen. When you see a thing is prospering, a thing is peaceful, it's in order. So what is the place of a woman? Here is a very shocking scripture. When you speak it to a modern woman, they'll say, really? 1 Timothy 2 verse 11 to 15. This message is for believers. It's not for people who are trying to convert to believe in God. 1 Timothy 2 verse 11. We're going to read it in detail than we've been doing it. I want you to read carefully and understand. We are closing, but I want you to understand this. 1 Timothy 2 verse 11. Let the woman learn in what?
Silence.
With all?
Silence.
So Paul says, let a woman learn in silence with all?
Silence.
Verse 12. Shall we all read? But I suffer not a woman to, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in
silence.
For what reason? For? Was first, then? Now, hear me. The seniority of a man is by virtue of him, number one, having been first created. The number two, verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the 15. I want you to read it as loud as you can. Let's all read verse 15. Notwithstanding, she shall be in what there? A woman shall be saved in
childbearing.
A woman shall be saved in
childbearing.
The place of a woman is to do what? To bear. Now it doesn't end there. It says, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. But what place did God give to a woman to bear? I want you to meditate on that and think deeply about how serious it is. Remember, order means a place for everything and everything in it. And when there's that order and harmony, there will be peace and prosperity. Now, let us go to Genesis 2 verse 18. Why shall a woman be saved in childbearing? God says that is her place. Now, let us go to Genesis 2 verse 18. We want to see why God put a woman. Now, before we go to Genesis 2:18, let's go to chapter 1. I want you to observe something. Are we together?
Amen.
If someone is sleeping, I'm giving you the license to give them a big slap because I don't want them to miss this. Now, Genesis 1 verse 11. I want you to notice all the things God was creating, be it a tree, be it animals, there is something he kept specifying. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his
kind.
He had to specify that. The tree has to bear forth seed, fruit after his kind. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his
kind.
And the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his
kind.
Let us go to verse 21. And God created great wells and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their
kind.
So every fish had to reproduce after its kind. And every winged fowl after his
kind.
Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his
kind.
Cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his
kind.
Verse 25. And God made the beasts of the earth after his
kind.
And cattle after their
kind.
And everything that creepeth upon the earth after his
kind.
When it came to man, God looked in himself. Let us make man after our image and after our likeness. In other words, let us make man after our kind. Now, on the creation of man is so detailed. He says image and likeness. Those two words entails after his kind. The whole chapter 1 is a theme of how God is emphasizing that everything has to come forth out of its own kind. Now, do you realize when God was making a cow, he made both male and female at one time? He did not take the female cow out of a bull. No, that's not what God did. That's not what God did. God created a male cow, a bull and a cow in pair like that. Animals, lion, talk, mention anything. They were created like that. But when it came to a man, he created a man. There was a period of time before a woman came forth. I want to ask you the question. Why? Why was there a span of time? How long it was, we don't know. But here's something. When Adam came in the garden, you know God would have named all the animals? You know God was capable of doing that, right? Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he tell Adam, these are animals? Name them. And Adam starts naming them. Is that what God did? No. Read verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and did what? Hello? And brought them unto Adam. Let that sink in real deep. God did not just tell him, Adam, uvitee vinyama, then Adam mbufisakira. I think chija, aenda kuinangwa sakira china. No, no, no. It is God who brought the animals before Adam. Look at this. And brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Are you hearing that? So Adam is here. God brings the calves. Adam looks at it. It will be cow. The cows go. Another animal comes. It's brought before Adam. He looks at how it behaves, how it is. He gives it that name. When you look at a snake, it comes before Adam. He called it what he called it. Because of how it looks. Now remember, snakes were already there even before the serpent was cast. The serpent was just reduced to the snake family. You need to know that. Now, Adam named the thing by the kind it was, by the way it was behaving. Because in the biblical pattern, that is how things are named. They are named because of their nature, because of how they behave. Right? That's the name you call a thing. You see it in the character of God. He names a thing because of how the kind of that thing, the way it manifests. So God brings the animals. And Adam names them. Why did they have to be named by being brought to Adam? And why the Bible says to see what he would call them? Why was God observing? Why was God observing? Why did he have to see what he would call them? Why was he interested in the ability of Adam to rightly judge in giving the name? In the hands of Adam was the future of the world. And there's one thing Adam needed to understand. The kind of each and every animal. If he doesn't understand that, the whole creation will go out of balance. The animals reproduce after your kind. They understood that. They didn't have choice. But Adam has a choice. And if he misbehaves by marrying a chimpanzee,
Everything goes out of balance. So it has to be a slow process with emphasis. Name this. He names it. It's like, good. He brings the stipend. I believe it was the last thing to be named. He looks at it. It has eyes like him. A nose like him. It's the only animal Adam says good morning. He says good morning, sir. The Bible says the serpent was the most intelligent creature of all the animals. Mr. Serpent with his wife comes. This looks like me. And God pays more attention. What will he call it? Oh, serpent. You know what serpent means? In the meaning of serpent, there is a connotation which means ability to learn like a man. It was the only animal which used to talk. But Adam knew it's an animal. And it also knew he is my Lord. But it was highest among all the animals. Because Adam was the son of God. He needed an animal which could do work on his behalf. An animal which can also communicate with the other animals. But it's Adam's garden boy. So what do you see in chapter 2? Adam is able to name all the animals. And God is waiting to see if Adam is aware that of all the animals, there is none which is like him. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. Do you see that the naming exercise wasn't just an exercise for giving names, but an exercise for Adam to see that there is none of these creatures which are a help meet for him? Are you hearing that? After the naming exercise, there was not found. So it was also a searching exercise for it to sink real deep in his mind. This is not your kind. And God can only provide a woman when Adam has seen that. I don't know how long it took. But after the whole exercise, Adam says, hey, let me rest. And God throws a deep sleep on him. God only had to do that after the naming exercise. And Adam was waiting for, oh, I thought I would find something which looks like me. I think I'm the only guy here. Adam says, let me rest a little bit. Let me lie down. A deep sleep. Then God pulls a thing which is of his kind out of him. When Adam wakes up, he sees one more thing he did not yet name. Amen. All the animals had been brought to him. Finally, he sees a figure which has been brought before him now. The last thing to be named. He looks at her. Oh, this looks like me. This is bone of my bone. Flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. She was taken out of me. In other words, she is of my kind. He had a revelation. Now, look here. What was the purpose of God giving this woman to a man? It's right in verse 20. But for Adam there was not found a, number one, help meet for him. There was not found a help meet for him. What, number one question, what kind of help? Hey, because some people think help in terms of, if I'm working as a man, as my wife, you also need to be working. Hey, that's not a kind of a help which is here. Do you know that a female lion, a lioness, is a help meet for the male lion? Help in terms of what? Those things don't go to ShopRite or to Pick and Pay. If there's a male dove, there's a female dove. The female one is a help meet for the male one. Now, let us go into some these words. Help means to aid. Help means you already have something, right? You can't help a person who is doing nothing. Is that right? Huh? Members, you like ufailisho, ufailisho. How can I give you ufailisho if you are not doing anything? Huh? You say, help me. When you call for help, it means you are doing something. Is that right? Hello? Usually, even myself, I love to help people who are doing something. If I see someone is just a lazy person and all that, I'll be abusing the person by giving them money. Are we clear? Because some of you, you think you are helping a person, you don't know you are damaging them. Next time they say, I need something, you tell them, I have a field, you come and work at the field, then after a week I'll give you something. There has to be work. Now, that's not the kind of a help we're talking about here. For Adam, there was not a help meet for him. Now, Adam already had something in him. He had seed. Seed. Now, why did God give a woman to Adam? Let me read from Church Edges, page 189, for us to establish this thought. Here is what the Holy Spirit had mentioned to the prophet one time. He told him, pick a pen, start writing. And this is what the prophet wrote. The first son, Adam, was the spoken seed word of God. Do we say amen to that?
Amen.
He was given a bride to reproduce himself. Are you hearing that? A male species is given seed. Remember the command God gave to the animals? Multiply after your kind. How will the male fulfill that command? It has the seed. The seed has life. The seed is the future. The seed is a forest out of which, you know, it's one tree out of which a forest will grow. A seed has all that is needed. But it needs something through which it has to manifest. It needs a bedding ground, right? It needs a place which can house it. And certain elements
are hidden in the female counterpart. The other set of chromosomes. Is that right? But the male has that seed. That's the more important component which is needed. But it needs an incubator which will carry that and add a set of chromosomes to that. So it is a lamb on its own. It needs another thing to receive that seed. Provide an environment for it to grow. A male dog had a female dog for that. All these other things in creation. But now Adam is given a woman. To do what? To fulfill what commission? To reproduce himself. Because God said, multiply. God wanted a family. How will that work be accomplished? Remember, that was the work. To produce a family. Adam won't do that alone. He needs another component which is the opposite of him. Now, when you look at the word meat in Hebrew, it means one that is a counterpart to him, his mate, his opposite, to help achieve the purpose of creation. So here is a woman. Why has she been given to Adam? To reproduce the image and likeness of God. In other words, the seed needs help of the egg for a family to be produced. God brings the animals, name them. He names a lion, he names a giraffe, he names an elephant, he names all this. And finally, a woman is presented before him. Says, yes, she is woman. She was taken out of me. For what purpose? To be a help. Why help? He already has a seed. But how shall it be brought forth? The seed needs an egg. So God provided the counterpart. When Adam saw this woman, there was an attraction. Why? It was God's order. And where there's God's order, there will be a result. You leave John and Mary on an island. Island, a land which is not connected to any piece of land. If there are the only two human beings on that island, after 200 years, you find a big community, life, prospering. It will be an island full of life, many human beings. Now, we have human beings who say, a man can marry a man. Put John and Steve on an island. Go back after 200 years, you find bones there. There won't be any life. But when you follow God's due order, there will be a natural ability, natural affection, and the result will come out because it's natural. Praise God.
Amen.
The first Adam was the spoken seed word of God. He was given a bride to reproduce himself. That is why the bride was given to him, to reproduce himself, to produce another son of God. Now, God has made a man. He has responsibilities. God has put a woman. She also has her place. When a man does what he's supposed to do in a home, when a woman is doing what she's supposed to do in a home, it becomes a joyful, wonderful family. This union was never meant to be a competition of we can both do it, we can do the same thing. Water is made up of hydrogen and oxygen. They are married together. Two hydrogen atoms. So the hydrogen is stronger, right? With one oxygen atom. The moment oxygen says, even me, I need more strength, I need more power, equal, you won't have water. You have a different substance and it will kill you in your body. When God says a man can do this, a woman has to do this other thing, these are different roles and you are meant to be complementary. When God says a man is a head over a woman, a true woman rejoices in the strength of her man. A true man rejoices when he sees a wife who provides a homely environment in the home. A woman gives it a lovely, welcoming touch in the home. Is that not so? Amen? When these two elements work together in harmony, a man will give direction in his home. A man will give discipline to the children. But when that is lost, a man spends time at the tavern drinking and doing all sorts of things. Children have no one to give them direction. That brings disorder in a home. Instead of peace, there is confusion. This is a long thought. We'll continue this thought next Sunday. Shall we stand?